You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for February 20th, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, I'm Tom, and this is the Music Manumit Podcast. I'm introducing this outside of the regular podcast right now because I realized when we were talking with our guest today, Joe Powell from Copyleft Records, that during the first question and the introduction, I did not have my digital recorder on yet. So we just missed the first question, and we're going to join it right where I realized that it wasn't on. So it is now already in progress.
Well, I started it, basically, I didn't have any specific bands in mind per se. I just had the idea that, hey, I want to start up this label. I figured I could, you know, get a few bands to sign on, but I didn't have any specific bands in mind when I first started it up. I basically created the page first, and from there on in, I picked up a few bands right from the get-go and just slowly started adding on from there.
Did you, what was one of the first bands, I guess? Like, were you, did you approach a band, or were you asking bands to approach you?
The way that I kind of went about it, I am part of a, this sort of musical forum where there's a whole bunch of musically inclined people. They share their music for free. I don't know if I can really mention it by name, but I basically
the seedy underbelly of the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Just hiding in the bowels of the interwebs. But I basically just sort of posted something on there. I was like, hey, I'm starting up this new net label type thing. Just throwing it out there. If anybody feels like giving their music away for free. And I was actually approached by not only several bands right from the get-go, but there were several people that were kind enough to donate web space for our website and also offer to basically create the website and keep it running. So I was really lucky as far as that goes.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really just, I can't really thank the music sharing community, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so great. There were so many people willing to donate their music, their time, their efforts, not only just to the bands, but to keeping the website going as well.
And did you start out wanting to do something more in the Copyleft realm, more of the Creative Commons realm? I mean, was that the idea from the get-go that you wanted to do something in this manner?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I actually when I was in school, I was actually going to school for music business. That was my major in school.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of going through school, I realized, this really probably isn't the best route to go down as far as, building a future, because, it's anybody who takes the look at the music industry over the last decade or so knows that it's not what it used to be. And I've really just felt for the last few years that this is really the way that music should be going. Just it really, at this point, it's crazy the way that that major labels are, basically just out and out attacking their fans for, mm-hmm. for just doing nothing more than sharing their music. And that's really just where I've been trying to take this, saying that people are still willing to create music even if there's no financial gain in it for them.
And it's surprising to hear you say that, because the first thing I would think of when you say you were majoring in music business, everybody's always questioning the fact that if you're doing this, how do you make any money? And that's the whole thing. And I don't really think it's about that right now, but I think it's becoming something where the turn of everything that's going on in the music industry that you spoke of is starting to be more self-promotional and self-monetizing in a lot of different ways. And I think people are finding that out. But it is surprising to hear someone who majored in music business go, music industry should be going this way and I'm going to join. I think that's really cool.
Right.
So I want to...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I sort of got a feel for, because I had worked with several people who actually were, had a lot of experience in the music industry, they were faculty and staff at the school. And, while I had a lot of respect for them and what they do, it sort of gave me sort of an exposure to the side of the industry that I really didn't care for. And I really just didn't want to go down that road. I really just think that they're sort of trying to, cling onto this sinking ship, and it's not going to work out that way. I feel that, free music, Creative Commons, all of that is just sort of the way that it needs to go in order, at this point in time.
Speaking about the music industry at this point in time, I don't want to rat hole this too much, but what are your thoughts, given all of this, that, thinking about the sinking ship, about the Grammys, which are tonight, both of you guys.
Are they tonight?
They are.
I don't think I've watched the Grammys in years. I really don't care.
I watched last year. I didn't really care enough to watch this year, but I have nothing but, you know, I have nothing but respect for the major recording artists. I mean, they're obviously good at what they do and they've found a way to make money at it, and you know, that's good for them. But you know, for the people who can't make it to that point, you know, where are they supposed to go? I mean, there's no major award show for people who, you know, sell 200 CDs.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was something, as I wrote on the sheet, that we should probably mention the Grammys at least, is something I was thinking about, because there you're right, there is no sort of like, or I don't know about it, any sort of like web awards, you know, best performance in, you know, best metal performance in Creative Commons. You know, there's not those sorts of awards like there is, you know, the Oscars, the Grammys, etc. Do you guys think something like that could work? People wanting that sort of thing?
I think it would be great to see that happen. I mean, back when I first was thinking about starting up this net label, that was another idea I was sort of kicking around at the time. I thought, wow, you know, that would be really cool to see something along the lines of the Grammys, but something, you know, a lot more low key, you know, just bringing attention to a lot of artists that, you know, haven't had the chance to break through and, you know, sell millions and millions of records, and, you know, just to, you know, give them sort of their fair due. Because if there's one thing I've learned from starting up this net label, I've just come into contact with such amazing musicians that, you know, are just happy to just give their music away. It's like, you know, they don't look at it as lost revenue. They look at it as gaining exposure. I think that's great.
How are you finding these musicians? Are you actively seeking them out, or has it now come to the point where people are starting to contact you, or both?
It's pretty much both at this point. When I was first starting up, it was mostly just me seeking them out. Like I mentioned before, the musical forum, I would, you know, sort of go through there every so often, just take a listen to all the music posted, and if I found something that really struck a chord in me, I would, you know, approach them. I'd send them a message saying like, "Hey, I really like your sound. I don't know if this is something you'd be interested in, but I have this little project I have going on where I like to, you know, try to promote these artists a little bit." And I would always sort of present it to them as not so much as a traditional record label, but more like just an assistant for exposure. Like, you're still basically just, you know, promoting yourself and putting yourself out there. I'm just there to sort of give you a helping hand with that.
Now, that raises another question that I always like to ask. Actually, I think I've only asked it once, but still, it's now, when you went this route, what made you decide, from what you had just said, what made you decide to go the net label route instead of more of just like an MP3 blog? Or, I mean, is there a huge difference, do you think?
Well, I was sort of inspired into the net label. There were several net labels out there that I sort of got into and got following. I don't know if you or any of your listeners have heard of these, but one of my favorites is Quote Unquote Records by Jeff Rosenstock. Hmm. He's the founder of the band Bomb the Music Industry, who's a huge influence for me. He basically was a member of a band, like a professional band signed to a label. They broke up and he decided, you know what, I'm just going to make this music, put it out there. If people want to listen to it, that's great. And he's actually gained a really strong following for his tunes, and he's, you know, managed to put together a similar net label and all of these bands on it. And I, you know, that's sort of what gave me the inspiration. I actually contacted him before I made my net label, the Copyleft, and just said, "Hey, thanks so much for doing this. I think it's really great. Yeah, you've actually inspired me to, you know, sort of put my net label together as well."
Yeah, it's nice the way that all net labels, or at least the ones we've spoken to, do not compete, and they will at any chance mention another net label that really inspires them, and that's always really cool too. We had Headphonica on here, and they talked about, you know, they mentioned Bad Panda, who we had on before, and we mentioned that to Bad Panda, and he's like, "Oh, that's great, I love those guys," and they've talked to each other. That's the whole thing. It's not like, no, you shouldn't go with that label, you should come with me. You know,
right? And that's right.
The community is really a good thing, because everybody's out to do good and promote and show new things. You know, and that's so. Did he respond when I didn't catch? Did he respond when you sent to him and say thanks for, you know, giving me the idea and the inspiration to do this?
He actually did. I can't remember exactly what he said. I have it saved somewhere on my MySpace messages, but he did actually take the time to respond, which I thought was really great.
Yeah.
I've never gotten to speak with him, you know, personally at a show or anything, but I thought that was really nice. He took the time, you know, to at least send me a response. And like you were just mentioning a minute ago about the, you know, how there's not such a competitive atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I was going to agree completely. I found the same thing. Actually, another net label who I sort of got involved with or, you know, started following as well, who I found through this the same musical forum. He actually gave me a lot of pointers as to how to, you know, actually go about starting it up and how to find musicians and stuff. And I mean, he's been a really, you know, great help with that. And I still try to promote his artists as well whenever I hear something of his that I really like. So,
yeah. And so I'm looking at their website right now. At least some of their stuff is under Creative Commons. Do you know, Joe, is it all under Creative Commons or just some of it?
Everything that I've come in contact with, I believe, has said Creative Commons.
There might be
one or two in there that aren't, but at least everything that I can remember coming across, I have seen the Creative Commons label listed on their artist pages.
Yeah, it looks like they're all in CSA, which is the license that you use as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why did you pick that license? What do you think the benefits of that license are?
Basically, I picked this one. When I first heard about Creative Commons, I can't remember exactly how I came across it. I think I might have just, you know, happened to stumble upon it one day. But I just kind of, you know, started reading into it. I thought, you know, this is exactly what I'm looking for. This basically just sums up my entire views of how music should be. And I was just kind of going through looking at the various, you know, licenses, and I just happened to, you know, come across the non-commercial share alike and just went down and, you know, saw everything that it listed. I thought, this is perfect. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And everybody, you know, all the artists that I've approached about this or have approached me, I make a note to let them know, hey, you know, if you're signing up, this is the license you're going to be using. And they've all seemed perfectly fine with it. I mean, they all agree that it's really sort of the best fit for exactly what they're looking for their music.
Sorry, I'm clicking around on your site right now.
Yeah, so this is something that we've talked a lot about, the sort of, you know, with various net labels and just between ourselves, you know, the differences between what you get with the non-commercial and what you get with the without having that. And we talked to a guy, John, who runs cchits.net, and he was saying that for him, doing what he does, the No Derivatives license is better because he's trying to push music to, like, you know, coffee shops and, you know, garages and, you know, just sort of like streaming music, just like it with the radio. It sounds like, believe it or not, they're sort of ASCAP-ish situation in Britain is actually worse than it is in the U.S. And so it's sort of interesting because from sort of a free culture perspective, people sort of think, yeah, we want people to remix things and such. I mean, that's kind of Tom and I's take on it. But, you know, with the non-commercial, you can do that. You know, all of your bands are remixable. And we've played some of those. Actually, this week's show I had one of the...
All Heroes.
Yeah, All Heroes was on there.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, from him's perspective, he doesn't care if people are remixing. So there's this tension between different uses. Has it ever come? Has that ever come into a problem with you? Like, there's some sort of distribution means that requires, you know, that things be able to be used for commercial release, or I guess, yeah. Has that ever been sort of an issue, or?
It's never been an issue up to this point. I mean, like I mentioned before, I always approach the artists and, you know, let them know exactly where I'm coming from, and this is the kind of license I'd like them to use. None of them have had a problem with it. All of the artists signed to copyleft still own all of the rights to their music. I don't own any of the music. Like I mentioned before, it's basically just sort of me just offering a helping hand. That's kind of the way I like to look at it. So if anybody approaches me about any sort of, you know, commercial or, you know, anything involving the you know, the exchange of funds, that's something I let them know. I said, you know, thank you for approaching us about this. I'll be happy to pass this along to the artist, but basically I don't have the ability to say yes or no on this. And then I go ahead and contact the artists and let them know,
cool.
This party has contacted us about this. Do you want to approve this for, you know, commercial use, or do you want them to say, you know, you have to do this for free? Basically, it's still entirely up to the artist's discretion whether or not that's something they want to do.
So where they are, you know, I assume that this happens, you know, that bands do say, oh yeah, you know, that would be great if you guys played this and such. Is that, you know, does that situation come up, or are bands usually pretty hesitant?
It really depends. I mean, there's only been a few cases where I've personally been approached by people looking to use copyleft music in, you know, in situations where, you know, they're putting a show together or they're, you know, doing something online and they want to know if they can use music from the copyleft artists. I know just off the top of my head, I remember sometime last year, I think I was approached by somebody, a YouTuber, a guy who makes YouTube videos for supposedly a really popular channel, and he wanted to know if he could use copyleft music in his videos, which is technically commercial because he makes revenue from the ads that are played on the website. Yeah. So I said, well, you know, that's an interesting idea. I'll go ahead and run it by all the artists. So I sent them all a message. I think there might have been one or two of them that were a little hesitant on it, but the rest of them said, yeah, that's not a problem at all, because, you know, it's I think the subscriber number for this channel was like in the hundreds of thousands. So, so they were, at that point, they were more just like, hey, that'd be great exposure. So,
yeah.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. That's interesting about the non-commercial is because, I mean, those sorts of things creep up, and you don't think about some guy doing YouTube videos as being a commercial venue, but exactly, you know, there are people that are making money off that. And so that's right. The thing. I think it's cool what you're doing, because as a label, you're still giving the bands that choice. But the thing that Tom and I, or particularly Tom, sort of runs into a lot is that the bands sort of don't understand what that means. You know, they want to keep Exxon from using their machine. I don't always pick on Exxon.
I know, you I always use good, that as that example.
I guess with good reason, I think, but maybe I should find somebody else to pick. Maybe I should switch to BP.
Maybe.
But, but you know, they don't want to stop, like, the DJ, you know, down the corner who's got a gig from using their music, but in fact, that's what they're doing. And so that's kind of just a thing that, you know, Tom and I always just try to wrap our heads around, you know, because people are doing things different ways. And so, like, I think it does make a lot of sense from the label perspective to sort of say, this is the band's thing. But have you ever had a band that has said, nah, we'd rather it be, you know, this license? Because I think everything is non-commercial. You know, has there ever been any sort of back and forth about that? Or
as far as I can tell, I can't say for sure. As far as I can remember, I don't think I've ever had a band that has ended up, you know, going along with us and signing on, say, you know, that I don't think this is really for me. Because I do lay it out right up front. I say, you know, if you are going to be signing on, this is the license that all of the other bands use. You know, I kind of put it in the, I typed up just sort of like a mini contract just to, you know, let them know exactly where I stand and where they're going to be standing. And I think I put it in there as well. And nobody's made, you know, any sort of complaint about it so far. Because I mean,
I guess not even like a complaint, but just sort of more discussion. Like, would you be open if a band was like, no, we'd actually like it to be, you know, more free than that. You know, we love what you're doing, but we really want people to be able to use it in their commercials, and we want people to know that up front. I mean, is that something you'd be willing to do, or do you really want to keep it consistent with the non-commercial?
I'd be absolutely willing to, you know, to discuss that with them. I mean, I personally wouldn't have a problem with it because it's not technically my music. I mean, it's they're the people who own the music. It's theirs to do with whatever they want. The only reason why
you're putting it on, you know, your page, so I could understand too that you would want to keep sort of the brand as being, you know, if you go to Copyleft Records, this is what you know, this is what you're getting, you know, from not from the band's perspective necessarily, but from sort of the fan perspective, that they sort of know what that brand means. Just curious. But sort of on that note, you know, as far as the non-commercial, on the site it says no rights reserved, which I think is interesting because what we're talking about is rights that are reserved. So I guess maybe if you could just speak a little bit about why you picked that tagline.
We just picked no rights reserved. I think pretty much at that point we were just sort of looking for a tagline. And while you are right, it is some rights reserved, not technically no rights reserved. I just thought that had kind of a catchier ring than some rights reserved.
It does. It was, yes.
It was more kind of a. It was more kind of like in a comparison way, as compared to like major labels where of the rights are reserved. In this case, you know, compared to Sony, BMG, or Warner Brothers, it's like Copyleft Records. It, basically, compared to them, does have no rights reserved. I mean, we have it's non-commercial share alike, but I mean, it's at that point, it's basically just free and open.
And. Yeah. Also, on the logo, have you noticed recently that Comedy Central has changed its logo to a very similar one?
I did. I just noticed that.
I just saw that the other day, and I was like, wait a minute.
Remarkably similar to that.
I wonder if they're maybe they're.
Should sue them for copyright
infringement. There you go. Get them.
Maybe you should just ask for attribution.
There you go.
Just be like. With permission from Copyleft Records, right at the very bottom of it in little text.
Yep, plug my website every time they show the logo.
There you go. It'll say Comedy Central, not to be confused with copyleft-records.com.
Yeah.
And also on the page two, farther down, I noticed that you had created a Bandcamp page. And I was just going to ask you, because we had talked about Bandcamp for a while, because they did the whole thing where they switched it over to, they were no longer going to let you do free downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody raised a stink about it, and now they've got more of the Flickr model, where it's like you can do so much a month. What was your take on that? Because it looks like you signed up probably right around the time that was going on, or right before.
I did. Actually, I had just signed up probably like a week or two before that had happened, because I had experienced had contact with Bandcamp before. I thought it was a great service.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, it'll be another outlet for people to basically stream the music or download it, in case they don't want to go to, Mini Nova or our website or anything. But and then I, read that news update that they had started offering that. And obviously you can tell from our Bandcamp page, I've only added a few albums to it, because that point I was like, oh, what's the point?
But yeah, exactly.
But I'm still thinking I'm going to at some point add all of our albums to there. Basically, even if they're not able to, download the album for free, if by some miracle all of the downloads get used up or whatever, they can still use it to stream the album or basically it would just be more exposure, I guess. But yeah, that did sort of play into, why we have a Bandcamp, but we haven't been pushing it as heavily as like our, the BitTorrent site that we use, or, downloading directly through the website.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because one of the main competitors these days, and one that's been getting a lot of press just in the past month or so, being SoundCloud, they have from the start been like, you can only do this much on your free account. Like from the very beginning, it's been like, we're not going to give you that much freedom. And nobody said boo about it. People are using more and more, using it more and more. I don't know. I was on the same in the same boat on Bandcamp. I was up in arms about it, but I was like, God, but it does all the stuff I need it to do.
Right. And they have to make money somehow. So.
I know. And that's it's just the slippery slope, because it kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier, because they wouldn't have a service if it weren't for the musicians that they need to be on there using their service, So it's weird. And I mean, that's, since the dawn of time, that's the way it always is, it's the supply and demand, et cetera. But it's just, that's the one thing that got me. It's just like, okay, you just turn this around. We've been using it. And now it was mainly because they said no more free downloads. Was what they started out with, and then I was just like, "That's crazy." And then they kind of slowly, like in the comments, just the owner or the head guy just kind of mentioned, "Okay, we're gonna do this now," and like no press release about it or anything. It was just kind of mentioned, like number 22 comment on the post was just like, "Okay, we've heard what you said, and we're gonna switch it." So then they didn't want to draw attention to it anymore, which. It's actually kind of a smart move, to tell you the truth. But
well, that should give you some kind of indicator exactly how many musicians there are out there that really just want their music to be out there. I mean, that people made such a big deal about, not being able to give their music away for free. That should be some sort of, major indicator that that it's not just a fluke, that there are tons of musicians out there that are basically just looking to get their music out there any way that they can.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask real quick about that SoundCloud thing. Excuse me.
Wow. You all right? I think he muted his mic even. Unless we lost him. He did mute his mic, he said.
Yeah. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
I just wasn't sure if we dropped you or what happened.
No, it was the internet gods were mad at me. So what I was going to ask before is I know that you can upload X amount of time on SoundCloud, but that's also for downloads as well. There's a limited number of downloads.
I believe so.
Okay.
I just wasn't aware of that. Yeah, there's like not only number of downloads, there's a number of listens, which Bandcamp doesn't have that, but SoundCloud does. You can only stream it so many times a month on a free account, which is interesting. I don't know. it's kind of weird because your player is embeddable, so who knows where it's going, or I don't know. It's the whole audio thing, I think, on the internet is evolving, so it's weird. I just totally stole that question from you, Joe.
That's okay.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
To tell you the truth, I'm not as familiar with SoundCloud as I am with like Bandcamp. I mean, I've uploaded a few different tunes to it, basically just to post it on random websites, you know, share with people. But I'm not as familiar with SoundCloud. I wasn't aware that you can only have a certain number of streams a month or anything like that. So
yeah, and that's just on the.
I bet you answered that.
Yeah, and on the free account, it's kind of inhibited. But if you do the paid account, it opens up considerably. And there are different tiers of it. Have you? Do you ever use? I'm trying to look around on your site right now and see what do you mainly use. I mean, are you using your own server to do stuff?
Yeah, we have our own server. Basically, you can download the any of the albums directly from the website. We also use mininova.org, which is a BitTorrent website.
Oh, cool.
The last time I checked, I can't remember the exact stats off the top of my head, but I think we had just recently broken 300,000 downloads for our combined library. So that was
nice.
I was pretty happy to see that people are still using that means to download the music as well.
And that's on the website, you're saying, not on torrent tracking or anything like that.
Right, that was through Mininova, not through the direct Copyleft website, but through the BitTorrent.
Oh wow, that's cool.
That means they keep track of all the downloads on Mininova here. Let me pull that up here, see if I can give you an exact number.
That's interesting. That means you've got a pretty that means you have that a lot of people do what they say they do, because I don't really know barely anybody that knows how to BitTorrent whatsoever, or even what it is or how you're supposed to do it. Like they'll click on it and go, I downloaded it and it was nothing there, and I'm like, what is it? And I don't know, it's a .torrent file, and it's like, yeah, that's not it.
right. Yep, that's actually the music community that I'm a part of that I referenced before. I mean, if you couldn't guess, it's it is BitTorrent related. So
okay.
So that's kind of where I got the idea to branch out into BitTorrent as well. And since Mininova, I don't know if you're familiar with the website at all, but basically it was one of the top rated BitTorrent websites like on the internet up until I think about a year ago. Basically, it got taken down because it had all the illegal songs and videos up on it, and they basically said no more of that. It's basically you have to own the content that you're uploading, and that's basically what it's become. It's basically just people like myself and people who have their own music and videos uploaded to the website, and people were making a big complaint about it. But I mean, it says here our torrents have been downloaded 310,033 times.
Damn.
So.
Nice.
People, I guess, are still using the website. Obviously, not as much as they were, but still, I still think that's a pretty significant amount. So,
yeah, I was going to ask if that was the one I remember being closed down. But it's still, you're saying it's still back up, or it's been put back up under this condition.
Right. I know there's been a few big ones. Like I know the Pirate Bay in particular. That one got taken down, and I'm not certain if that's back up again, because I know that. All the people involved in that were just found guilty and sentenced to jail time and millions of dollars of fees. But I think with Mininova's case, if I remember correctly, they actually were brought to court, and as sort of like a settlement deal, they said, we'll allow you to stay open, but you can't have any of that stuff on your website. And I think that's basically the route that they took, is now it's all just original content that the uploader has to have the rights or the right to distribute.
Yeah, we just recently did a news story about the guys from Pirate Bay threaten the music industry, and they're going to open a site called Music Bay that they say is going to be the likes of which they've never seen. And
I heard about that.
Yeah, and it's like, well, what could you possibly do even more than just regular pirating? I mean, you're going to hand deliver the music to people's houses?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they're actually going to hack into people's computers and put the music on their computers. That's what they're going to do.
That's probably not that out of the question, you know? I mean,
I think that'd be interesting to see. I wouldn't mind giving that a shot. I think that'd be I don't know. There's so many places. I mean, there's a million websites out there you can go to get music for free now. I just don't know. I mean, Pirate Bay was so influential in the BitTorrent community, but at this point, I mean, I don't see how anything that they make can really trump any of like the private sites that are out there now, the ones that are, you know, not open to basically whoever, you know, wants to gain access to them.
And I think streaming stuff has really subsided a lot of that. Like, the fact that you can do on-demand music without having to download it these days is a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like, I beg you to try and find someone who isn't on the internet every day that doesn't either know Pandora or Last.fm. You know?
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I'll have people mention, like, I was at something the other day and someone said, oh, does it have Pandora on it? And I was like, I turn and look at the person and like, I would not have expected you to say that coming from that person, you know, not to stereotype people, but it was just like, you're like my dad. I wouldn't expect him to go, why doesn't have Pandora? So it was, I think that that's changing a lot of things too. They're realizing that if you put it out there, there's not so much a need for needing to go get it.
Yeah. And then at that point, the artist can still benefit from it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure they have some sort of deal set up where they get some sort of kickback from it, but,
well, that's supposedly what ASCAP and BMI do. So I would hope that they're getting the kickback for it, or else they're not doing their job.
But I personally use Last.fm. I think it's great. Even though, you know, I have been known to download from time to time, I still use Last.fm just because it's so convenient. I mean, if I'm over at my parents' house or something, I'll, you know, go to Last.fm and I'll turn on some random radio station and just, you know, stream it. And it's, like you said, people are using it that you wouldn't really think that they would know what it is or know how to use it. It's sort of, you know, bringing that sort of technology to a crowd that otherwise probably wouldn't know what to do.
Although they did just announce recently that they're no longer going to be doing free streaming from their apps.
Right, from the mobile devices.
Yeah, which is too bad. That's what I use the most. Anyway, don't need to go off on that.
So we don't start the rumor that the Pirate Bay is down. Currently, they have 3,289,000 plus torrents with 15,000,000 plus cedars and 8,000,000 plus leechers.
Excellent.
So that's the
of course they do.
It's on the Pirate Bay.
I don't think Pirate Bay will ever really die. I'm pretty sure it's probably going to continue on until the Earth explodes.
I don't think that even they would know how to shut it down these days with all the moving and servers and people using it who know how to, you know, manipulate things. I don't know if you could fully take it down.
Yeah, some the people that know how to do that, they're going to mysteriously disappear, and then it will live on.
They're going to get attacked by Anonymous. I don't know if you guys hear about that, but Anonymous is going to take them down probably. So
yes.
Anonymous take down the Pirate Bay, or take down the people that know how to take down the Pirate Bay?
Exactly. Yeah, take down the pirate haters, if you will.
Okay.
Ah.
All right. So let's get back on topic here. That's the first time we've gotten off topic.
Yeah, of course.
So why don't you just tell us, like, I don't know, a couple sentences about all the different bands. There's
that
15.
Was eloquently put, Doug.
What?
I said that was eloquently put.
What did I say?
It was just, why don't you like kind of, you know, tell us.
I don't want a thesis on each band. I don't want him to feel like I'm asking for, you know, like.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time because it was funny listening to you try to get to that. I'm sorry,
well,
continue,
yeah,
Doug.
Well, I can. Yeah, I'll kind of I'll kind of go down the list here. Basically, let me just take a look at the list here. I mean, there's some bands that, you know, I've signed on to the label, and honestly, I haven't heard a word from them since. Like, I think there was one band, I can't remember which one it was, but I tried to follow up them via email, and it said the email was no longer like an actual email account.
Oh.
So I don't know what happened to them, but there are several groups that I still do keep in touch with on actually quite a regular basis. I friended them on Facebook, I keep in touch with them via email. There was quite a few of them, just going down the list here. We have Buffalo, 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 All Heroes, Synthesizer Shake. Those guys were all from the music site that I go to. They were all, three of them, I think, were the three of the first bands that actually signed on to the label. Eric Perry and the Digital Silence was actually an old music project that I was involved in, back in college, with my brother-in-law, actually, is Eric Perry. So that's how he kind of got involved in it. There was a few that contacted me, just basically via email. I'm not certain how they found out about it, but they just sent me emails like underscore Adia, Greedy Eyes, Mango Garden. I think Mango Garden actually found me through MySpace. Another thing I like about the music that we have is that it's basically from people all over the world. Like the Sam's Hardcore Orchestra, they're based out of Brazil. Shoulder of Orion and David White, they're based out of the Great Britain. Isaac Graham is from Australia. Pink Pills is from Scotland. That's one of the things I really enjoy, is just getting to meet all of these really cool people, these awesome musicians, and just having the internet to bring us together from all the corners of the world.
So just for people that might be interested in checking out some of these bands, underscore Adia is actually the word underscore and not the character underscore.
Yes, spelled out underscore and then Adia, A-D-I-A.
So what's I'm not going to ask you to pick a favorite artist, but what's your favorite song that you released?
My favorite song? Oh, boy.
I still think you put him on the spot with this one, Doug.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I mean...
Pick multiple if you like.
Well, every single artist that I haven't signed a single band that I haven't enjoyed listening to their music. I will say that there are some artists that I listen to more often than others. Like, I know Isaac Graham in particular. I've had his CD in my car for the last year or so.
He's good. I like Isaac Graham. I told you that in the first email, I think, but...
Yeah, he's incredibly talented. He's a super nice guy. Interesting side note about Isaac Graham, actually, he actually just recently won a contest where he was put on the B side of a 7-inch vinyl with Epitaph Records' Frank Turner, who's another singer-songwriter from based out of the UK, which I thought was really cool because I'm also a big fan of Frank Turner as well. So that was I was really happy for him that he got that that experience and got to. Basically have his music put out by a pretty major independent record label.
And on a 7-inch, that's kudos to the old school there too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was, he was actually nice enough to send me a copy. I asked him if he would sign it for me when he's, famous one day. I'll be like, oh, I have Isaac Graham's autograph before he was famous.
I love the fact that him being on the B side of an Epitaph, it was Epitaph you said, or?
Yep, Epitaph Records.
That's not famous enough for you. That's good. You set your sights high, and I like that.
Well, I'm a pretty big fan of Epitaph, so I've been a fan of Bad Religion since probably for the last decade or so. So,
God, are they still on Bad Religion? Is Bad Religion still on there?
Yeah,
they left, I think, in the mid-90s.
They were on Atlantic.
There you go. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Right, right.
But they haven't been on Atlantic for like 15 years or something.
Yeah, but I haven't really listened to them in like
15. They've been on Epitaph for the last 10 or 12 years, I think.
So okay.
I forgot.
I was going to say something about that, but I forgot.
I think we were just talking about Isaac.
Oh, our favorite songs. That's
oh, there you go.
I was going to mention, though, on the point of the 7-inches, that 7-inches are still really big in the punk community for some reason. I don't know.
They always have been.
I
remember
from what I hear is making a comeback, like not even just 7-inch, but like full size vinyl is actually having a pretty substantial comeback, kind of surprising a lot of people within the industry.
I have nowhere to play one. That's the sad part. I'd have to go buy something. Maybe it's just because of the rise of, DJs, I guess, because that's really the only people I would know off the top of my head that have a turntable. I don't know.
I think it also has something to do with... it's just sort of like a coolness factor. Like it's kind of cool and retro to, to basically bring back something like that and have it play. On the website I go to, there's a lot of people like really hardcore audiophiles who just swear by vinyl. Like, they don't listen to anything else. They'll actually take vinyl records and, you know, somehow, like, they've got this these rigs set up where they'll take vinyl records and basically rip them to their computer. Mm-hmm. So instead of just copying the CD to their iTunes, they'll actually copy a vinyl record onto their music library, which I think is actually kind of cool.
Interesting thing, though, is it doesn't work the other way, really. Like, I think if you are digitally recording an album and then put it on vinyl, I don't think it has the same sort of the thing that you're talking about where people are just like, oh, it sounds much better on vinyl. But if you're already doing it digitally, because that was taking it from analog and scratching it directly in, and now the process that a lot of people use for making those anymore is also digital, so it doesn't have the same sort of thing, you know? It is different.
I have heard that, actually. That's one of the arguments I have heard, that because I'm by no means like a hardcore audiophile. I don't own a record player or anything, but that is one of the arguments I have heard, is that, you know, why bother, you know, having this vinyl record and ripping it to digital when the process is, the recording process is all digital to begin with. It really doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really comment on that either way, so.
All right, back to pissing people off by picking other bands for your songs.
Yeah, right, all those other bands that I'd like. Yeah, like I said, Isaac Graham, I'm a big fan of his music. Let's see here, who else? I love all kinds of music. Like, I have yet to find a genre that I don't like at least one band in, which if you go through and listen through the copyleft artists, you'll basically hear a little bit of everything. In particular, like David White and Dresden, two of the newer additions. I really like their sound. They have this sort of like 80s, you know, synth pop kind of sound. It kind of reminded me of like The Cure. Which I think is kind of a cool sound to hear in this day and age. The Sam's Hardcore Orchestra, that's sort of my love for punk music coming out, and ska music. Pedro from the Sam's Hardcore Orchestra is another one of those people that I've kept in pretty close contact with. All Heroes in particular, that's another one of my favorites. I listen to them constantly. They actually, the guys from All Heroes, it's actually, there were two brothers, were the lead singer and the lead guitarist in that band, actually just started up a new group called the Stereophones, and I believe they're doing Creative Commons as well. They're basically doing, they're releasing a new song and video each month for 10 months on their website, so I thought that was really cool as well.
Are there any bands that you've done that didn't start out using Creative Commons and you've turned them onto it?
Let's see. As far as I can tell, I mean, for the most part, I think all of these, with the exception of maybe Dan Dektis, I think is the only one I can remember coming across where he was originally selling his music. I think the rest of them, from what I can recall, were maybe not necessarily using Creative Commons specifically, but they did have that sort of free music mentality. They just either weren't aware of Creative Commons or just hadn't really, you know, considered utilizing it until I approached them about it. But like I said, pretty much all of them were already giving their music away for free. Dan Dektis, I think, was the only one who was actually charging, and he had actually gained sort of a cult following on Reddit, apparently, right before I contacted him. So he was actually making pretty good money off of his album, and I was kind of surprised he actually agreed to let me help him distribute it for free as well. But he's a really nice guy as well.
All right, I still haven't heard a song. Let's do this.
All right. Let me pick a song here.
No, actually, I think I'm gonna maybe get you off the hook here. So there are some featured tracks on here. How often do those rotate through? And would you say that at least as they rotate through, that those are some of the favorites, or did the bands pick those, or how does that work?
The bands did not pick the feature tracks listed on the website. Those are basically some of my favorite tracks from the artists that basically were my personal favorites. I haven't really rotated them. Actually, I haven't really altered the feature tracks playlist recently, because we have added the option to basically stream all of the albums on the website. If you click on, if you go to albums and click on MP3 streaming, you can basically just stream all the albums. So I haven't really updated the feature track list recently, but yeah, if you go down that list, that should give you sort of an idea of which ones are my favorites. Obviously, you can see mostly it's the ones that have been around longer, like Too Personal by All Heroes is one of my favorites. Isaac Graham's This Old Town, that's another one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I like This Old Town.
Yep, that's. I mean, basically that whole album is just absolutely beautiful to me. I think he's an incredible songwriter, but that one really stood out to me on my first listen through. A few of the other tracks sort of took me a little while to warm up to them, but that one just jumped right out at me.
Are you satisfied now, Doug?
I'm satisfied. Question. I like how I built him up, and then I right at the edge, I like let him. Laid him down on a pillow.
I think he masterfully made sure that everybody was covered in your pick the best child question. The better child.
I love all of my artists equally because they're all kind enough to, you know, offer their music for free, and I can't thank them enough for doing that. So
I think the reason that I've kind of just poked you about this is because you've done things a little bit differently than the other net labels that we've interviewed.
That's true.
So like Bad Panda releases like a track a week. Wasn't it a week, Tom?
Yeah, it's every Monday.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a band so much as it was the track was the focus. And then Headphonica just has like, they just have tons of stuff over there. So it was just sort of not this well organized. I mean, it's well organized in a different way.
This is kind of like what my question was before, and that I had asked him was, I was asking, you know, why did he take this route instead of an MP3 blog? Because arguably, a lot of net labels are technically just a different realm of MP3 blog. And
I think getting back to that question, now that I think about it, I actually did start up a blog as well. And it is basically a free music blog. It's focused only on music that's offered for free. Mm-hmm. And I sort of did that on the side in addition to Copyleft, sort of as a way to give exposure to musicians that I think have really good music that really stood out to me, but didn't quite fit with, you know, the label, the sort of sound I was going for. I remember there I reviewed a band that was sort of a hip hop group from Sweden, which I thought was kind of cool, but either they're already represented by a net label, or, you know, it just didn't quite fit in with what I was trying to go for Copyleft Records specifically.
See, it's interesting that it's not uncommon also for people that do this. It's just the passion behind the whole net labels thing that the people have. That, I mean, you had that going on. You're like, well, I want to promote this, but it doesn't quite fit, and it might not be well received there. And you had another realm where you could do it. Whereas, just like Claudio from Bad Panda has another site that he just does called Stereo Mood, and it's basically a site of music where you choose what mood you're in, and it will display the songs there. It's like a completely separate site from his own, but he does it to promote music in the realm of how you feel instead of like, these are great bands.
And That's actually a really cool idea.
I know. I liked it. And the site is really cool, too. He designed the whole... He did some really good stuff with it. It's a very interesting site. So cool. It's cool to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In the name of your MP3 blog, let's just call it that, is...
It's Music Industry Earthquake.
.blogspot.com.
Yeah. It hasn't actually been... I have been kind of slacking on that. I haven't updated it in a couple months just because... You know,
well, you better do that before
Joe.
Now I have to throw a few up there, but...
We release
real life gets in the way and stuff, so...
The Sunday after the episodes, usually, so you got a week to put something
up
there.
You have a week to get it moving.
All right, I'll have to throw up something new just for all of your listeners.
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just going to ask sort of what's the next step? You know, do you want to sort of, for instance, Bad Panda just released their first, it was a vinyl, wasn't it, Tom?
I don't recall.
Well, anyway, they released like an actual physical LP. Is that something you want to get into? I mean, what's the next step for Copyleft Records?
At this point in time, I don't really have any plans as far as, you know, vinyls or, you know, any kind of merchandising. I'm really just trying to keep this as, you know, non-commercial and sort of low-key as possible. I feel kind of whenever you bring money into the equation as far as like music or art goes, it just makes things a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. I'm really happy just doing it exactly as it is right now. I'm totally okay with not making any personal gain from it. I do it basically just because I love the bands that we represent. And, you know, they've been happy with it so far. I wouldn't be opposed to maybe doing some sort of, you know, physical release in the future. But at this point, I don't really have any solid plans for anything like that.
Well, let's say one of the artists blows up and actually it requires the time of a full-time job to sort of really manage and help promote and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, is that something that you would want to take on, or would you sort of be like, no, guys, you need to move on your way? This is, you know, we're a dog and pony show here. You gotta go to the big time.
Well, if one of the bands did blow up and they were, you know, they were adamant about having me involved with that somehow, I'd be honored. I would say, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that. I imagine what would most likely happen, though, if one of them did blow up, they and I would probably part ways and they would probably get signed to like a label or something like that. That actually is what happened with the very first artist we signed. A songwriter called Sleep In was the name of his group. And he, after I think it was probably 4 or 5 months of him being on the label, he sent me an email saying, hey, you know, I've been contacted by this label. They want to put me out, you know, put my music out on their label. Just want to let you know if you'd be okay with that to take my music down from the site. I said, yeah, it's not a problem. You know, it's your music. You know, if you don't want it displayed, just let me know. I'll take it down. And we still have it listed under our albums list. But if you go to that page, you can see you can no longer click on it. It's basically just sort of a placeholder to let you know what the very first record on our label was.
That cool. Was the first artist, huh?
Yep, the very first one.
Wow, that's a cool story. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so when you do like interviews for real podcasts, you can use that one. You passed the test for us.
Excellent. I'll have to keep that one in mind.
Do you have any advice for people that might want to do Creative Commons, or people that are going, hey, I've heard about this Creative Commons thing. Why should I use it? You have any advice for, like, what would you say to them? Like, I think you should use it because...
And as someone who has some background in, you know, the music industry, at least educationally speaking, do you think there are things that people could take from Creative Commons and actually make a career out of their music with it?
As far as making a career out of Creative Commons, I imagine you'd most likely be able to do that more so as the actual artist rather than, you know, representation, like
right,
a label,
absolutely,
or a manager, something like that. I mean, there's really probably not a lot of career options, you know, as far as, you know, management of a Creative Commons group. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking like, you know, an artist looking into Creative Commons, I'm personally all for it. I would say absolutely go for it. Just be aware that, you know, it's not what you have in mind. You know, it doesn't go with what the industry standard is right now. You basically just have to take everything you know about the music industry, just throw it in the garbage. You're basically going to be, you know, working for yourself. But if you're really dedicated and you're really putting yourself out there as much as you can, I think you can be really successful. I mean, if maybe not as monetarily wise, then definitely with the exposure you'd be getting from the, you know, from the free music that you're putting out there.
I'd like to add something to that, just because a funny story popped in my head while you were telling that, and, you know, the expectations and things like that. I recently ran across I don't know if you're, first of all, if you're familiar with the band Death From Above 1979?
No, I'm not.
Okay. They broke up in like 2006, but they were a two-piece band that got signed to Sony Records. And this is a bit of a nasty comment, and it's funny though. They were being interviewed while they were making their first video. And they had just gotten signed, and they're just two guys out in New York and whatever. And the interviewer was standing there while he was waiting for his part in the music video and says, so, is it much different now being signed to a major label and doing all this stuff? Is it what you expected? And he turned to the camera and looked at him and said, I expected a lot more hand jobs, and that doesn't seem to be the case. And I thought that was
at least
brilliant.
He's honest.
So, I don't know. I'm sorry. I came across that video today, and that popped into my head. I'm sorry. I just thought that was a great answer. I mean, someone's interviewing you, so yeah.
Yeah, got to go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how have the hand job been since you started Copyleft Records?
I imagine that's probably a better question for the artist rather than
oh, okay.
I don't know. I've seen television shows from the 70s, and those people that ran the record labels on those ABC television shows from back then, they were doing coke and had tons of stuff going on, and they were partying all the time.
Yeah, so, the sex and drugs parties for copyleft records are not as large as you might think.
And the artists were always holed away in the studio while they were doing that. On those shows. It was like the record industry people were the ones out there partying and networking and talking to people.
And amazingly, not much has changed.
That's very true.
It's still, you know, kind of that way, only, you know, artists are making less now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. What are some of your favorite bands? I mean, obviously you've got the ones on the label. I'm not talking about those, but, you know, and you've got the ones on... you know, on the website, is on your blog as well, but sort of other ones, you know, ones that do have exposure, both, you know, Creative Commons bands and, you know, just your everyday, you know, dicks of the music industry like Metallica. You know, what are some of your favorites?
Well, let me go down the list here. I did mention Frank Turner earlier with Isaac Graham. He had an album in 2008, Love, Iron Song. I'm not as keen on the rest of his albums, but that one is fast becoming one of my favorite albums of all time. It's just really one of the best albums I've ever heard. I'm a big fan of the Beatles and Paul McCartney in particular. I've seen him in concert I think 4 or 5 times now. He was a really big influence on me musically. Like I mentioned, I've listened to a ton of different genres. I mentioned Bad Religion. I'm a big fan of them. A lot of different pop punk groups, Millencolin, Goldfinger, Catch 22, Streetlight Manifesto. I just recently, within the last year or so, started getting into more like electronic, sort of techno, ambient kind of stuff. I can't really name any off the top of my head. The Flashbulb, Ben Jordan. He's another one who I really have a lot of respect for. Not to get off on kind of another tangent, but...
No, that's good. Tangent in the way.
I don't think he's not involved with Creative Commons, but he does own his small little record label, and if you go and pirate his albums, like the last few albums, he includes a sort of a text in there, like a text document, and it basically just reads, you know, basically, thank you for taking the time to listen to my music. If you like what you hear, you can donate here. Otherwise, you know, thanks for listening. And I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. He's really in tune with piracy and like the people who do it. Like he's still trying to make money from his music, but he's not fighting piracy, which I think is a really cool way to go about it. Because I personally think fighting music piracy is just insane. But
like Prince, who said like I'm done with the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And in particular, what's his name? Gene Simmons.
We had a show about, well, not the whole show wasn't about him, but we talked about him.
He's the worst thing that happened to music, I think, ever. I mean, he's a great businessman. He's great at what he does, which is, you know, selling a product. But as far as music goes, he's the worst thing that happened in the music industry ever, in my opinion.
Which sucks because Kiss is one of the first reasons I got into music back when I was like third grade. Yeah. That was one of the first records I ever had. And yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying about that right now, too. He is too much of a salesman. And their music is just a product now. It's not even a brand. It's a product, you know.
And he basically said in one of the recent interviews in the last year or so that I read is basically like, we're not going to be making any more music until piracy is dead. And I said, well, that's
yeah,
good,
that's why.
I don't listen to you anyways. So
no, totally they're okay with that. Or it could be that nobody's buying the new Kiss stuff. Everybody just wants to see the Kiss Alive 1 and 2 albums recreated over and over and over again because that's what people are paying for.
Yep.
Nobody's going, oh damn it, they're not playing Tears or Fallen anymore or whatever the hell. Whatever their breakout when they took their makeup off was or whatever.
Right. As far as other bands, I mean, I could probably just go on for hours just listing off bands I listen to. Just pulling a couple more off the top of my head. Buckethead is another huge favorite of mine.
Your Skype icon.
Yep, exactly. Yep, he's actually my Skype icon. I fell in love with his music a couple years ago. He's just one of the craziest musicians I've ever seen.
Supposedly musician.
It's
theory that it's several musicians.
That very well could be. I mean, he puts out music at a rate that is just ungodly. Like, I think last year alone, he put out like 8 solo albums. Like, he literally just does them in like a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love his stuff. Random, you know, Ben Folds, Eminem, a little bit of, you know, popular stuff, a little bit of stuff nobody's ever heard of. I like to listen to everything.
What about saying the Buckethead thing then? Are you also, because people always go either one way or the other with this, Mike Patton, the guy from Faith No More, who puts out, also puts out like
albums. And Dillinger Escape Plan briefly.
Yeah. Yeah, he puts out albums like all the time, and they're all in different genres. And like, oh, this album is recorded with some scream artist from Japan, and then okay, this one is recorded with some jazz artist from the Antarctic, or you know, just
a bunch of penguins playing jazz.
But I mean, honestly, I swear to God,
I'm not familiar with his work. But if it's like you're describing, then maybe I should give him a listen. It sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
you said it was Mike Patton from Faith No More.
Yeah, and you know, Mr. Bungle. That's pretty much when he did Mr. Bungle. That's when he branched off and started doing like finding other musicians and it basically
I've heard
just
of Faith No More, and I've heard of Mr. Bungle, but I'm not familiar with his work in particular. So
wasn't he in Phantomos as well?
He might have been. I don't recall. I had a friend who was really into him, and I swear to God, there was just an endless amount of CDs that the guy put out. And it had only been like a period of a couple of years even when he had done his first Mr. Bungle record, and they had put out a second Mr. Bungle record. So I don't know when the guy takes the time to do it. It's all very operatic and Frank Zappa-ish, and I don't know. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, he was in Phantomus, and I actually saw them. They were playing with Tool kind of way back in the day. But Phantomos is a series of spasmic avant-garde metal songs composed by vocalist and band leader Mike Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. I like sort of eclectic, just sort of bizarre out there stuff. I think that's kind of cool to listen to.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely listen to Phantomos.
I'll have to go bookmark that.
And I would say even on another realm of that, John Zorn, I would suggest maybe looking at some of him too.
That's kind of more classical stuff, right?
It depends. That's the thing. Is like if the album Naked City that he did is essentially just like a Mike Patton album. Actually, I think Mike Patton was inspired to do what he does from the Naked City album. But he was. That's the thing. Is he's another artist too, where it's like one, you're gonna get straight up jazz. Second one, you're gonna get crazy time signatures and squealing horn. And another one, it's like, you know, he did a whole event where he ran. He had like a 24-piece band, and he orchestrated it like a game show, and he had calling cards that he would hold up, and different parts of the crowd had to part. It was like, and I missed it. I heard all about it. I missed the show. I was out of town that week. Like, I never leave town, and the one time I did, that was when it came to town. So
it goes.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, I could go off on a crap like this forever.
Yeah. while we're talking about a ton of artists, the next question we got down here is, where do you find new music? So where are all these artists coming from? Other than illegal torrent sites. I mean websites.
Special sites. Where do I find the music for the label?
No, just where do you go? I mean, Tom and I frequent the Free Music Archive. We go Jamendo a lot. But sort of, you know, where do you get music? You know, is it all recommendation, or do you go out and sort of seek it on your own?
To an extent, I seek it on my own. Basically, that's like you mentioned, the torrent community that I'm a part of, aside from the actual, you know, downloading of music, the actual forum that they have there, the community, is just crazy for, you know, just finding new music. You know, there's always a thread like, you know, if I like so-and-so, then what would you recommend to me? And within like, you know, 10 minutes, there will be 10 different posts from people saying, oh yeah, check out this, 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 and this. And
I like that.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's great.
That's
I mean,
cool.
Like, ever since I joined up, I think I've been a member now for about 3 years, but ever since I joined up, like my exposure to just music that I would have never even considered listening to has just exploded. Like, I've just been exposed to so much new cool music, and it's really, really great to be just, you know, part of such a community of people that just love music so much like that.
What is the name of that torrent forum that you frequent? I feel like you're not supposed to say.
Just tell him via chat.
No, it's not a huge. I mean, it's not a huge secret. It's not like one of those ones where you can't ever speak. Then it's what.cd.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, it is probably the largest private music BitTorrent site on the interwebs right now, the intrawebs.
Hmm.
I think, just pulling up the stats here, there's 144,000 people on it. They actually just recently broke 1 million torrents. So I thought that was pretty
impressive. They broke them all? They don't work anymore?
Every single one of them. Yep. Like, the best way that I describe it to people, it's like, think of the most obscure music you can think of, the most obscure record that was put out professionally. They have it in 12 different formats.
Nice.
And it's completely true. I mean, there's some of the bigger releases there. You can find, you know, several dozen different formats, you know, different releases, you know, different, you know, with special bonus tracks, you know, and lossy music. It's crazy how much music there is there.
And if you ask nicely, they'll let you borrow the LaserDisc live version.
Hey, you know what? If you put they actually have a request system there. You know, you put up a request for it. If somebody has it, they'll put it up for you.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. It's great. It's definitely the greatest online community I've ever been a member of.
Interesting. I've never heard of it.
Yep. Well, now you and all of your listeners will. And
yeah. The secret's out now.
We've opened the box.
We can just cut all of this out of the final.
There you go. I'm not even recording anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
So one of the questions that we always like to ask too is what people we should interview. Now, I've decided that after speaking with you, we have to get Isaac Graham on. But who else should we try to? And that's going to be fun, him being in Australia, trying to find a time that works for both of us.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Who are some other people that you think would just have good things to say and be enlightening?
Well, I mentioned them earlier, the guys from, previously from All Heroes, but they're now part of the Stereophones. I really can't say enough good things about these guys. They're just incredible musicians. I can't believe they record all of their own music, and the production values on them, to me, sound better than some of the major label releases that are being put out now. Not only the fact that they come out with a new track every month, they also come out with a music video for each and every track. As well as custom artwork for each of the tracks as well. And they're basically just doing this for free. You can go to their website, thestereophones.com. You can stream it. You can download it. You can, you know, leave them love messages, whatever you want to do. But I, like I said, I can't recommend them enough. They're super cool guys. I mentioned Jeff Rosenstock before. He's another kind of personal hero of mine. I don't know if you'd be able to get him on the show, but he strikes me as somebody who would probably be, you know, more knowledgeable about this kind of stuff than I am. I would definitely recommend trying to look him up as well and trying to get a hold of him for one of your shows.
That sounds good. And before we wrap things up, is there anything else you would like to tell us about, promote, aside from your label, or, you know, just anything that you'd like to kind of give a shout out to everyone before we wrap things up today?
You can say hi to your mom. No one's done that.
That's very true.
I'm going to send her a link of this when you put it out so she can listen. Yeah, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I don't really have anything else to promote, but, you know, just thanks to all the people that have made, you know, Copyleft Records possible. Derek is the
Was
guy
this your Grammy speech thing. That you were going to give when you got your Grammy? You didn't get invited, so instead.
Thanking Derek, he's the webmaster kind of the website. He donated his web space. He keeps the website running. I can't thank him enough for all of the effort he's put into it. Thanks to Quote Unquote Records for being an inspiration. Another one of my favorite net labels, my thank you to for offering all
that
advice.
That broke. That didn't come through on my side. Did you get that, Tom?
Yeah. That last thing that you said after Quote Unquote Records, and then all of a sudden you dropped out a little bit.
Oh, okay. It was Mine, All Mine Records.
Oh, okay.
Which is Mine, comma, All Mine, exclamation point, Records.
Of course it is.
Yes. or the website just mamrecords.com.
Oh, okay.
He was the guy in charge of that, John. He was the one who really gave me just a ton of pointers to basically get Copyleft up and running. He's another super cool guy.
Oh, that's the one you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He was the one who I kind of touched base with him before I started, and he's like, I was like, do you have any pointers? You know, I really like what you're doing. He's like, yeah, you know, you can do this, this, this. He just gave me a list of things to do. And I would he's another one. I mean, I would definitely recommend trying to get in touch with him. I mean, he's a really cool guy. He's got great, great bands on his label. And I think the way they do it is they actually have scheduled releases as well. Only it's like a whole album every Tuesday, I want to say. So, but yeah, thanks to him as well. And everybody who, you know, is cool enough to share their music for free. I just hope it keeps up and, you know, show the people in the industry that that people will still make music even if there's no, you know, money to be made from it directly.
Sweet. Do you have anything to add, Doug?
No, actually, I was going to ask you if you had anything to add, but when I asked that, I had my mic muted, and then you went into the question, and so I was like, well, I guess he doesn't have anything else to add, or else he wouldn't be asking that question.
Do have one thing to add, which is I'd like to thank Joe Powell from Copyleft Records for joining us today on the Music Man podcast. Go to his website and check out all the music that we talked about today at copyleft-records.com. So thanks for joining us today, Joe. It was nice meeting you, and we hope to have you on again sometime, and we'll be definitely keeping in touch and keeping an eye on Copyleft Records. So
absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much, and this has been another Music Manumit podcast at musicmanumit.com.